First Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, begin verse 1. The Bible says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, realize it's cool and rainy outside, but Lord, we're just thankful we have a warm place that we can come and gather together this morning, Lord, to study the Word of God and to sing these old songs of faith and to preach from the Bible, Lord. And I just pray as we're gathered here today, help us just to have receptive hearts to the voice of God. I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, you'll have your way, that you'll move in our midst. Lord, I pray that you'll bless those that's watching by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored this day, Lord, in this place. And Lord, that your will would be done and carried out. Lord, if there's one here lost today, God, I pray that you'd touch that heart. Lord, this might be the day they'll come to know you as their Savior. Lord, one that may be watching by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray that you'd just ever deal with hearts today and that your will would be done. Father, we love you. We thank you again for the opportunity we have to gather at your house. Have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do and accomplish. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. I want to look at this passage of Scripture this morning for just a little while, and talk to you about the kind of church that Paul left here at Thessalonica, or the kind of people that was in that church. We know the church is made up of people. And we want to look at these thoughts this morning. If you got a Scofield Bible, you'll find there in chapter 1 where it says, the heading up there where it says, part 1, the model church and the three tenses of the Christian life. And then as we look at this, we'll see the kind of people that Paul was writing to and see what relation they had to the Lord. But we find here, Paul here in writing to the Thessalonian church was able to say, we give thanks for all of you. That's a blessing to be able to say as a man of God. We give thanks for all of you that make up the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul loved the people at Thessalonica, and these people were on his heart, and he was concerned for their spiritual welfare. Paul tells us here in chapter 1 what kind of church he left in this wicked city. When we look at this church, we should see the characteristics of this church in our own lives and in our own churches. We should ask ourselves, am I helping my church to be a model church in the Lord this morning? And that ought to be the desire of each and every one of us as believers this morning, is to be that kind of member that would help our church to be a model church in this world that we're living in. And we find that the record of the Thessalonian church is found in Acts chapter 17, there in verses 1 through 15. And we, if you study the history of the church, you'll find it's the modern city today of Salonika, the site of Thessalonica. It was originally named Therma from the hot springs in their area. But 300 years before Christ, Cassander, king of Macedon, renamed it in honor of the sister of Alexander the Great. It was a free city with its own government, and it was also the capital city of Macedonia. Thessalonica stood on the important Ignatia Way, and it was one of Rome's greatest highways. And so we find this city here. If you go to studying it, there was a lot of idolatry there. These people were given to idolatry, and Paul, in coming to Thessalonica and preaching the gospel there, established a church, and he left the church evidently in pretty good shape. I thank God for missionaries today that will go to different places and be a church planter and go in and win people to God and start churches where there is no church. At this time when Paul went, evidently there was no church there. There was no gospel message, but yet we find that the Apostle Paul went to Thessalonica and people were saved, established a church there, and left people that loved God. Thank God for people that loves God today. Thank God for people that loves their church and are willing to sacrifice and give themselves to the work of God, and that the work of God might prosper. So we'll look at just a few things this morning of what the kind of church that Paul left here, the people that made up that church. We find, first of all, we see that they were an elect people there in verses 1 to 5. And the word church, if you look in it, is the word ecclesia, which means a called out group. The church is not a social club. It's a spiritual organism, an organization that's composed of people who God has called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 tells us, this calling is purely of grace, according to Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 8. And though you and I are in the world physically, we're not of the world spiritually. I believe the doctrine of election is a misunderstood doctrine many times. Some people teach that certain people were elected to hell and some to heaven. I believe that we that are saved are the elect of God. God elected us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God, I believe, in His foreknowledge, knows everything and everyone. And that old saying, did it ever occur to you that nothing never occurred to God? And He knows who will be saved and who won't be saved. That has no bearing on who will accept Christ and who won't. Election is that effective will of God being brought to pass by those who hear the gospel and receive it by grace through faith. Because of what God has already determined, that all that believe shall be saved. And I believe in a whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely this morning. But we'd be a fool to say that God, in His foreknowledge, didn't know everyone before He ever made this world brought this world into existence and created this the heavens and earth. God knew exactly what He was going to do. In His foreknowledge, He chose to save men, women, boys, and girls through Christ. And He put a will in each and every one of us that could either receive Him or reject Him. John chapter 6 and verse 37 tells us that all that the Father give me will come, and him that will come I will in no wise cast out. That's God's part and man's part. I'm glad that God knows us before we ever know Him. And in effect, we're saved, but we come to that realization, we hear the gospel message, the good news, hey, that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. Hey, the Holy Spirit woos us, He speaks to us, He draws us, and through our effort and our will, we come to God and accept Him as our personal Savior. That's what this church was made up of here at Thessalonica. They were an elect people. They were chosen of God to be saved and to carry on the work of God. We see not only they were elect people, but we see the evidence of their salvation. There in verse 3, the Bible says, Paul said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Hey, we see the evidence of salvation, that work of faith that had taken place in these Thessalonian believers. Just like today, I believe that work of faith takes place in each and every child of God as God works in each and every one that's ever been saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We find that unsaved people live for themselves. Hey, but true believers are willing to toil because of love. He has a new motive in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Hey, behold, all things have become new. So we see the evidence of salvation. I believe that everyone that's ever been saved has trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Hey, there was a work of faith that took place in their lives. Hey, there was an evidence of salvation, that there was a change took place, and you're not what you used to be. You come here too late to tell me that people can get saved and there's no change in their life. Now, I believe some people are more responsible than other people. Hey, we see a lot of people a lot of times that are still babes in Christ. They get saved in shallow churches where there's no responsibility ever taught to them. And that's why that a lot of them can dogmatically tell you, yeah, I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. They've never been taught. But I believe where people have said under the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God, under the teaching of the Word of God, I believe there's a responsibility to that person, and I believe there'll be more evidence in a person's life that's sat and heard and listened and applied the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God to their lives. We see that work of faith. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hey, I'm glad that that same grace of God that comes to you and saves you by the grace through faith, I'm glad that same grace will teach you how to live. I believe that anybody that is saved, even a baby in Christ, I believe the grace of God will teach them certain things. I believe the grace of God will teach you right from wrong. I believe the grace of God will teach you that you're not the same person that you were when you trusted Christ as your Savior. The evidence of salvation. These believers here, there was the evidence of salvation. There was the work of faith that had taken place in their hearts. We see not only their work of faith, but we see the labor of love. The labor of love that was in their midst. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. I'm going to tell you, when you get saved, there just something takes place in a believer. If you're around God's people, if you're around God's church, hey, where the preaching, teaching of the work of God is, I believe that a person will have the right kind of faith. That faith will grow. They'll grow spiritually mature, and there'll be a labor of love that takes place in their life. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, said, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Hey, we were all dead in trespasses and in sins. Hey, but I'm glad when the Holy Spirit revealed to us and He came into our heart and He quickened us. He made us alive in Christ. Said in verse 2, said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Hey, that's the way we all used to walk. Hey, we walk after the course of this world like everybody else. We're critical a lot of times of what the world is and where they're going and what they're doing. But in reality, that's where we were before we ever got saved. We see the work of faith that took place. And we see that labor of love that began to work in our hearts and in our lives. He said, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In verse 3, he said, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of life in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Hey, that was our past. That's where we were at. But we see the evidence of salvation, what takes place, a person made a new creature in Christ. We see that work of faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the work of God. But then we see here, the labor of love that was in their hearts toward others. Labor of love. Again, Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Hey, we don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. And what a blessing it is to know that we're saved by the grace of God. They were an elect people. We see the evidence of the salvation in their life, the labor, the work of faith, the labor of love. But then we see the patience of hope. The patience of hope in their life. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What is our hope this morning? Again, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. People don't like that. And godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. So we see the evidence of salvation, the patience of hope. The patience of hope. What is our hope? The coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1. We find that Peter talks about this to those that he's writing to. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, because Jesus arose from the dead, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Hey, our hope, our earnest expectation is that Jesus is coming again. What Paul wrote, Peter again, here he reiterates the fact of the second coming of Christ and our patience of hope. Hey, that He is coming one day. It looks like this world is just gone crazy today. Not many people looking for Jesus. There's not many people in the church looking for Jesus. Hey, you can tell by their attitude how they nonchalantly come to church when they want to, when they feel like it. The life that they live for themselves. He goes on, Peter says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. I like that old saying, I'm saved, I'm being saved, and one of these days I'll be completely saved. I'm as saved in this world as I'll ever be, but one of these days I'll be completely saved when my body will be brought back to that point and place where God, I'll have that glorious body likened to the Lord Jesus Christ. The patience of our hope, the coming of Jesus. Chapter 4. Verses 12 to 16. Peter here writing to these again, said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him be ashamed, but let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto the faithful Creator." Can I say that we're going to be some suffering in this world? Hey, but we got something to look forward to. Hey, that this world is not saved. Those that are not allowing Christ to work in their life, hey, they don't know what they're missing. They're not looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus. Hey, as we look around, we ought to realize, hey, He could come at any moment today. This world, I believe, is ripe for harvest. And so we see these people at the church here at Thessalonica, we see they were an elect people. We see they were saved by the grace of God. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you saved? Do you know 100% with all certainty that your sins are forgiven? Hey, that you're going to heaven? Hey, is there any evidence of salvation in your life? When you sin, does He chasten you? Hey, do you love the brethren? Do you love the church? Do you love living for Jesus? Or do you love living for the world? We see they were an elect people. We see, number two, they were an exemplary people. They're in verses 6 to 7. He said, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the world in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." What about that? He said they were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. I mean, we find here that they were followers there, verse 6 through 7. We find that they weren't only followers, but they were faithful. These were faithful people. They were following those of the Apostle Paul, those that had come through and taught them and preached to them and helped them in their Christian life. You'll hear a lot of times people say, "We're not going to follow man." Hey, you're going to follow some man. You'll either follow God's man or you'll follow the devil's man. I promise you, we all have followed someone in our Christian life and in our Christian walk. Hey, we've seen someone that was an example that we said and we began to follow after them. Paul told several places, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of the Lord Jesus." They were followers. You know, I believe God wants us to be followers of that which is right. He wants us to be followers of those that's went on before us. Those that's paved the way, that's opened up doors that we can follow in their footsteps. They were followers. They were faithful. They were faithful to the Word. Can I say this morning, the Word produces faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There's no one that's ever been faithful that didn't adhere to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Paul told them over in Romans, the Roman believers, he said, "I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Did you know it's only reasonable that you present your body to the Lord? Everybody wants to dwell on the spirit and the soul. Hey, the body can't be separated from the body, the soul and the spirit. Now, this body will never be saved till Jesus comes back. This body's the tabernacle that God's given us that we travel in here. Hey, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we have to work on our flesh. We have to reckon ourselves to be dead. Hey, just because the world's doing it, the majority of the world, that don't mean it's right. The fads of this world, the things that's going on in this world, just because everybody else is drinking don't make it right to drink. Because everybody in the world is dressing immodest don't make it right to dress immodest. Just because everybody else is cussing and carrying on don't make it right to cuss and carry on. Just because it's showed on television, you'll find the majority of stuff you watch on television is trash. They're promoting alcohol, and they're promoting immorality. Hey, they're provoking immodesty in this world. And it's there. And the child of God is different. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just only reasonable that we present ourselves to God. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, you see people with tattoos all over their body. It don't make it right for you to go out and get a tattoo. I don't care if it's a cross or if it's the word Christ or whatever it is. Hey, you're marking your body. You go to punching holes all in your body. Hey, it don't make it right just because the world's doing it. I seen a young lady with a ring in her nose the other day. You know, they used to ring hogs' noses where they wouldn't root around in places they weren't supposed to root around into. If it keeps some of our teenagers from rooting around in places they shouldn't be rooting around, I'd say ring them all. But it don't help. It just identifies with them, with the world. When you dress like the world, you're identifying with the world. You say, y'all don't preach like that. Well, somebody ought to, because there ain't many people preaching about it no more because they got afraid that somebody's going to get mad and leave. If you're saved, you ought to want the Word of God and you want to apply it to your life. These were exemplary people. God's people ought to be examples to this world. When people come into the house of God, they ought to see some examples in the house of God. The Word produces faith. It produces saving faith. You get saved by hearing the Word of God. That Jesus died for sinners. He was buried and resurrected again the third day. You get saved when you hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day, and you respond to that message. You'll never get saved without responding. You'll never live right without responding to the Word of God. You got to deal with your rebellion. You got to deal with your stubbornness. We're all made of the same stuff, I promise you. That flesh likes fleshly things. The Word produces faith. Faith comes by hearing. Saving faith. Thank God for the day that I heard the voice of God. I heard the message that Jesus loved me. The Word produces faith. Saving faith. Submitting faith. You know it's going to take faith to submit your life to God? It's going to take faith to submit your life to the authority of the Word of God in your life. You know what? The man's problem is authority. Don't none of us like authority. We all have to fight and battle against that. It's just in us to rebel. It's in us to be stubborn. It's in us to have our own way. They were faithful to the Word. The Word produces faith, saving faith, submitting faith, sustaining faith. I'm glad that God can sustain you during times of persecution, during times of problems in your life. during times of peer pressures in your life. Sustaining faith, faith that lasts, faith that's passed down. The Word produces faith. And then let me say, if you got the right kind of faith, that faith and the Word of God will produce joy. Happiness comes from happenings. Joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Word of God. From letting God work in your life and accomplishing what He desires to do. Acts chapter 8 and verse 8, I believe it's when Philip went and preached, he said, and there, the verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. You know, the Word of God ought to produce joy in our lives. It ought to produce joy in our churches instead of anger. It's amazing how much anger the preaching of the Word of God produces. You might not see it a lot of times, but hey, it'll produce anger. Correction always produces something. It'll produce reception in your heart, or it'll produce rejection in your heart. I'll never forget Debbie. She carried Stephanie out one time up at Faith Baptist Church. She was acting up. She carried her out. She whooped her. She gave her a whooping. She come back in and she sat down and she plopped back down. It didn't produce no joy in her life. It produced rebellion. It produced rejection. She rejected that whooping. Debbie jerked her back up and she carried her back out. She whooped her again. You said, I wouldn't have done that and I wouldn't tell that. Well, hey, if we had more whoopings going on, we'd have a whole lot less rebellion in this world. She come back in, she sat down like a little girl should have sat down. And I promise you, no chastening may seem joyous for the moment, but I promise you, if you'll receive it with the right attitude, the right spirit, it'll produce some joy in your life on down the road. There's a lot of people who rejected the preaching of the Word of God. They said, I'm going in my own way, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to act like I want to. I'm going to run with who I want to. And young people, a lot of times they get in hurry ahead of God, they marry the wrong person, and that later on in their life, hey, they're miserable when they could have joy. There's nothing like being with the right person. There's nothing like being with the right person. There's nothing like being with the wrong person. I've seen it. They were exemplary people. I wonder this morning, what kind of examples are we? What kind of examples are members of the Open Door Baptist Church to the people that we work with, the people that we come into contact with? Can they see Christ in our life? Can they know that there's something different in our life? Can they tell through your conversations what's going on in your life? What's happening at church? Do you talk about your preacher for preaching against sin and against people ought to live right at workplace? People pick up on that. Hey, you don't like what I preach, you go to work tomorrow and preach and say that, and you'll have somebody say, hey, I don't blame you for feeling like that. He ain't got no right to talk to you like that and to preach to you like that. They were exemplary people. They were excited people. They were excited people. They were excited about the messages. Message. There in verse 8, said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Hey, they were excited. They were excited about the message. I wonder how, are we excited about the gospel message today? Hey, I believe that we can sense our excitement when by the missionaries we support. Hey, we've heard the gospel here in the States, in our community, and we want someone in another place to hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for them. not only for us, but for them. They were witnesses. They witnessed by their walk. Verse 7 says, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You may be the only Bible that someone ever reads. They may not never pick up a copy of the Word of God, but I promise you, somebody that's living right and walking with Jesus speaks louder than words a lot of times. They witness by their walk. They witness by their talk. Said they sounded out. That verb sounded out has the idea of blowing a trumpet. While they waited for the trumpet, they were trumpeting the gospel of the grace of God. They were excited. You know, we ought to get excited about serving God. It ought not be drudgery to come into our church just because we sing those old hymns. We preach from the old King James Bible. We stand for holiness and right living. I think it's important what we listen to, that we listen to the right kind of music. I think it's important that we get preached to out of the right Bible, because I'm going to tell you, hey, you listen to somebody that's preaching out of another version of the Bible, even though they're saying some good things, it won't be long till you'll get to thinking, well, he preaches good. What's wrong with reading another version of the Bible? What's wrong with having another version? It contains the Word of God, a lot of people will say, but it's not the Word of God. This King James Bible don't only contain the Word of God, hey, but it is the Word of God. And a lot of people have tried to reach the more intellectual by preaching out of a more modern version of the Bible. And they're full of corruption. Singing. A lot of contemporary songs. You know, you might listen to some contemporary songs. Hey, I've heard some contemporary songs I like. I'll just be honest with you. I've heard a few that I liked. They had a good message in them. They had a good tone. But I'm going to tell you, you get steeped in that stuff, and you think that that's the way to go today. Debbie was in the operating room one day, and one of the nurses, the circulating nurse, she's the one that changes the radio. They told her to put on some music or something. She went, and she turned the radio on, and she put it on one of these religious stations. I'm not going to say a Christian station. They put it on one of these religious stations. And they were playing that contemporary, that gospel rock. Gospel rock? And she was live telling Debbie, she said, you know, they didn't even know I put it on gospel music. Well, if you can't tell it's gospel music, then you ought not be listening to it. I just soon to hear David Allen Cole or somebody sing, or Waylon Jennings, than to hear some of that stuff. If it ain't going to glorify God. I mean, if you're going to listen to that, listen to Credence, man. Something that don't glorify God. You say, I wouldn't have said that. Well, hey, we ought to listen to the right things. They were excited people about the message of the gospel. And I know I get criticized for saying things like this, but hey, look ye out the old paths and walk therein and stand therein. There's nothing wrong with the old time way. Hey, it used to be them old preachers, they'd pray down by the creek side somewhere. They'd have them a tree, or they'd have them a place down out in the woods somewhere. They'd get out there and they'd pray themselves full, and then they'd go out and they'd read the Bible and read themselves full, and they'd go out back to the house of God on Sunday and they'd preach themselves empty. They'd take a thought, a simple thought, and preach, and the power of God was present. We've trained up a generation of preachers today that don't know what the power of God is. They ain't going to preach against sin. They're afraid they'll lose their check. God help us. They were excited people. And there's nothing wrong with a preacher going and studying and go getting him an education. Everybody ought to have a little education. Someone said a man that won't borrow from the brains of another has no brains of his own. A lot of times when you study somebody that's already, they've already went out there and they dug up all the nuggets, they put it all together and they give it to you, something that might take you years to understand. They can teach you the doctrines of the Bible that otherwise might take you years to get a grasp on. We got enough of this not studying and crawling up in the pulpit and opening your mouth and expecting God to fill it. And that's okay if you can do that. And we ought to do that every once in a while. They were excited of people. Then let me say lastly, they were an expecting people, verses 9 and 10. We see the proof of their expecting there in verse 9. The Bible says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Hey, we don't know nothing much about the kind of idols that these people had. They had a lot of stuff going on. It just blows your mind to read about those temples of there at Corinth and Thessalonica, the things that was going on in name of religion. They worshipped idols. Most of us been brought up in the Bible Belt, and we know about church, and we know what's expected. You go to church, you're going to hear some gospel singing, you're going to hear a gospel message. We don't know nothing about idols in our lives. These kind of idols. Idols made with hands. But there's a lot of idols in our lives across our land. And the Bible, Paul tells us here, that they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. It shows the evidence of what took place. See, we came, we preached the gospel. And what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The proof of their expecting, they turned from their idols. They heard the gospel message, they believed, they accepted Christ. Paul began to teach them all the doctrines of the Bible while he was there with them that was possible at that time. They began to grow in faith, and they began to sound out from Thessalonica. Hey, the message went out and it was heard how this bunch turned from idols and trusted Christ as their Savior. Every once in a while you'll hear somebody getting saved that God really changed their life. What took place? They said, Cruz, the game warden up in the mountains, he had made a profession years ago, but he got saved later on in his life. And they said he shouted for a month up there. Hey, something happened in his life, and people took notice of that. He began to walk different. Others that I've heard of, they began to hear about the coming of Jesus. Hey, they began to be an expecting people. Their lives changed. The lifestyle they were living changed. They turned from idols. Verse 10 said, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." They waited for Jesus. God proved that Jesus was His Son by raising Him from the dead. If there's ever been a time that you and I that are saved, if we're really saved, that we should be an expecting people, I think it's today. I think we ought to be looking for Jesus to come before we get out of this service today. And I believe the evidence is all around us. But I believe the evidence that we're really looking for Him ought to be seen in our lives. I believe a person is really expecting, come on, Miss Tina, a person is really expecting Jesus to come, I believe they'll be living like it. Instead of walking around acting like the world, trying to be like the world, look like the world, talk like the world. The Bible said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. We're to be a separate people. The Bible says, come ye out among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Hey, I didn't say that. They wrote that. The Holy Spirit inspired the Scripture. They wrote that 2,000 years ago. Please, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, chapter 6, latter part of that, and chapter 7, verse 1. We want to run real close to the edge, though. We want to run real close. We don't want nobody to think we might be a fanatic for Jesus. They were expecting people. Are you expecting Jesus to come? Most of all, are you expecting anything in your life to become a reality in this world that Jesus has done? He's coming. Are you really going? Do you know that your sins are forgiven?